Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 128. Sorry about the break last week, but I was on the beach and, well, I really wasn't in the mood to talk about comic books. Or I would have been by myself because these guys weren't here. Or
I guess invited us to the beach.
I could have Skyped in, but, yeah.
But nobody could open the store.
Right, well.
Well, we could have opened it, but closing it would have been
right.
A problem.
We could have snuck out the back
door. It's not like the security is any, like, amazing thing.
Well, the gorilla.
Yeah.
Now you know.
He's done for the night about that.
He'd come up if you guys started clomping around.
He's out of control.
Okay. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight is
Josh.
I never know what
Dave,
to say.
Pat.
Adam.
I don't. Is it is or are?
I didn't know what order we were going
we're
in.
We're not pirates.
Oh, sorry. We always go to the left.
Are.
No, but I'm just saying.
Let's change it
joining
up.
Me
we're
tonight.
Talking about grammar tonight.
Grammar. Okay.
Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Grammar Podcast. I'm your professor.
I just don't know what the word is.
Professor Pat.
I've been called worse today.
Today.
I'm just saying in today's Batman Eternal, it was Professor Pig. So. But no, someone just asked what all I read at the beach, but I did not bring any. Well, I did bring a couple. I brought a lot to read. I brought all the Valiant stuff. I brought
you
Squadron
always, like,
Supreme.
You always take a lot to read, and
you had Valiant stuff.
No, I took Valiant stuff.
Like, remember when you took stuff on the plane when you were going to your conference?
Yeah, I was going to Vegas. I took Watchmen. If you all read Watchmen on the plane, yeah, I read 3 issues of Watchmen on the plane because it took a long time.
Then they confiscated it. They
No. But I had bought some books that I wanted off of, used off of Amazon for a penny. And read those because I was doing a lot of floating in the pool
penny
in my
books.
Little raft.
And penny books,
and
you don't care.
I really didn't care if it got wet, whereas comics or trades, I would have been a little more upset.
Yeah.
So I did read 2 novels when I was there, which I enjoyed very much, but I did not read any comical books. Well, that's not quite true. I got Batman and Son and Batman Haunted Night out of the library.
Oh.
Well, I was there getting books. My daughter wanted a book, and I saw them there. I'm like, well, I'd rather take these on vacation than the ones off the shelf. And I started Batman and Son and just didn't get far into it. And I read about 2/3 of Haunted
I'd
Night.
I'd rather ruin the public's
money. Yeah, I was
just
going to say that.
No.
Everybody
but I'm just
else's
thinking,
book.
No, not ruined, but.
I have 4 copies, but I'll take theirs.
I can read these underwater.
Well, because I'm trying to sell these. And if they're shop-worn or, been.
Denny's
folks. I pay enough in taxes that they can afford to have me read a book. So I really didn't take anything to read. I didn't bring any comics. So, and what stunk
so
was
that's a podcast.
The new previews came out while I was down there, so I didn't even have that just to sit and flip through. Yeah, and I had to finish the order before I left, so I didn't have the old one to look at. So. And then, of course, I took Nosferatu, the Joe Hill book, which is like 800 pages long, and I just kind of looked at it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not reading this.
What's the point? I read 2 250-page books. Yeah. So, that was my last week. As far as news, I really kind of wasn't paying attention. Like, I was checking, like, Bleeding Cool and stuff on my phone.
Pat has the news, right, this time?
But
Last time. Yeah, I did it last time. The only thing that I saw was that Katana's going to end up being on Arrow.
Yeah,
yeah. There's going to be a mad run on Brave and the Bold 200, yes.
Back to, is it Katana or Katana?
I'd say Katana.
I don't know.
Is it is or are?
We'll find out in October.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I think it's night that, was it Deb Aoki? Is that her name?
Devin.
Devin.
Because she played Miko in
Sin City. Yeah.
Yeah, so, she seems a bit young.
But she was young in Sin City, and that was, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, it is Katana in the books, really.
She's old enough. Remember, she's married, and her husband's soul is in the blade.
That's why,
so,
I don't know. I picture her being mid to later 30s, almost.
No, the actress?
No.
Oh.
The character.
Oh, the character. I see what you're saying. No, I was thinking, 20s, maybe late 20s.
Yeah.
But maybe, yeah. But, no, I was happy with that casting, because I remember her as Miho was awesome. So, I need to watch that again.
Did anybody read the Age of Apocalypse? The leaked script.
Mm-mm.
I didn't get to read it.
I saw that.
Did you see it? Did you read it?
I read it. Not much you could read. But,
yeah.
But
it's just an office.
Opening scene in Egypt.
Yeah.
We've already seen
that. That's all it says. Openings
in
Egypt.
Yeah, we've already seen.
I also, one thing I heard, somebody forwarded me a link, but I really couldn't watch it because I was in the car. But the Flash pilot apparently was online.
Yeah,
and I've heard a lot of good things about it. People are really excited about it.
I'm sure they probably leaked it themselves. They were just like,
and the Constantine pilot also leaked, and I did not hear as good things about that.
Now, the one thing I did hear about that is they said he will not be smoking, and apparently a lot of people aren't happy about that.
But it's a network TV thing more than
even at 10 o'clock at night, which is when they're supposed to.
Maybe AMC should have picked it up. You know, they should have.
But it might just be an NBC no smoking flat policy. Like Marvel has a no smoking policy. You know, everybody remembers Wolverine as being the cigar chomping guy, but he can't smoke a cigar.
It's best if you're taking a show to any channel and he smokes. Better go to AMC.
I was gonna say he smokes in the
Don Draper, he can do whatever he wants, obviously.
Duh, it's Don Draper.
It's Don Draper. He can do whatever he wants.
So you said you didn't hear good things about the Constantine pilot?
But I haven't seen either, so I can't.
Colin will be the judge of this.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Just like Spider-Man.
The trailer for
X-Men.
I don't know if I'm on board with it. Like, I didn't love the trailer for Constantine.
I didn't mind the trailer. He
seemed kind of cheesy. Like, the dialogue.
Well, it could be, but it's also the pilot. So, that, a lot of shows need to find their way. I feel that way. Like, Sleepy Hollow, I thought the first one was kind of crappy. Well, it's basically an extension of Arrow, though. It's the same people, so they have a little more. Where Constantine, they're really starting fresh. Mm-hmm. But even the first Arrow wasn't that great. It was cheesy.
No, it wasn't. But I guess I was kind of gauging it against Flash's trailer and Gotham's trailer.
Yeah.
Which I like
Gotham.
I like Gotham's trailer. Gotham. I don't love, like, the Catwoman.
Yeah.
The little girl Catwoman.
Yeah.
She looks kind of weird, I guess,
I like the idea of Catwoman becoming Catwoman because she sees what Batman does.
I never thought Catwoman was older than Batman, and this girl's, like, in her teens, and Bruce Wayne is...
Nine or ten.
I saw that
either. Mm-hmm. Well, but the Penguin looks like the Penguin.
Penguin,
I think that was dead on.
Yeah.
Edward Nygma.
Yeah, he's in it. Ivy's in it.
Yeah.
And what's weird, they changed her name, I read. It's like something else. It actually deals with, like, Ivy or something. It's not Pamela Isley.
I thought they said Pamela Isley.
No, I think it was something else they changed it to. I'll have to look that up.
I thought they said Pamela Isley.
For sure. But, yeah, I don't know. The shows, I'm just waiting to see them. Because there's a lot of them going out. Especially Flash. Flash is the one I really want to see.
Yeah.
Did they have a trailer for iZombie yet?
There may have been one, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Well, you want more news?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now. I demand. And I saw, someone was added to Daredevil.
Yeah.
Foggy.
I don't know who the guy is.
Rosario Dawson.
That's it. Who's she going to be?
Yeah.
I've heard Elektra, which I don't know about that.
Siren.
Echo.
Yeah. It's an Echo.
She has a handprint on her face. That's what.
They put out like 5 or 6 different people she could possibly.
That's
gonna
be a Netflix series, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one I'm looking forward to a little bit, just to see what they're gonna do with it.
Well, and that's gonna tie in with the other ones.
Because I like Daredevil. I think he's a cool character.
Yeah.
He's one of those Marvel characters that is just like. It's significant to Marvel, like, you know how a lot of DC characters and that, they kind of, it's a Superman, it's a this, it's a that, but, like, a blind superhero, kind of like X-Men, like, they don't really have an X-Men type group in DC, like, they're just characters.
Marvel
right.
mutants, that's
why. Yeah, mutants, and it's different, and I feel like Daredevil's kind of that same kind of character.
Yeah.
He's kind of
different, and also not, like, this, superpower character, more of the he has the heightened senses, but he's more of the normal guy doing extraordinary things, almost like not comparing to Batman, but like how Batman
I also like how Matt Murdock is really sly, like, in his humor. He's not Spider-Man, and that's something cool, because a lot of his moves, and he's very acrobatic and this and that, like Nightwing and Spider-Man are very similar, they have the same humor. Daredevil was just a little more sly in his humor, and I've always kind of liked that about,
I never thought about that, Spider-Man and Nightwing being that similar. They're both very acrobatic.
So is Nova, which is weird, but they don't have the same type of abilities, but, Nova was created to be, like, a Spider-Man character. Okay. By his original creators, which their name slipped me right now. Colin would know. He knows everything old. Colin. You're on the spot now. Was it Billy Bob and
Colin's referencing his mental library right
yeah,
now.
Hold on, it has to load.
I have to type into it.
What
do you want from me? You didn't know who created Nova.
I know. You had the iPad.
You're the librarian.
Yeah, I didn't have it open. I'm working on it.
Well, he's looking it up. But Nova was created. Richard Ryder was created.
Marv Wolfen.
Yeah, there you go. But he was made in homage to...
Is it the same creator as Nightwing?
No.
Wolfman?
Yeah, it is. You're right. No. So he just likes creative characters like Spider-Man.
Look up
they wanted to have these young type characters that kind of have a lot of humor behind them how they do things.
I was listening to a podcast and I pointed and I played a little bit for Adam that I listened to, and it's just funny for me because it's a very pro Marvel, anti DC podcast. And
unlike ours,
ours. So I take issue with them a lot. But one of this last one, they were talking about the DC release schedule for their movies. And they couldn't get over the fact that they were coming out with a Shazam movie, because how does Shazam fit in with the Justice League? And they kept beating that and beating that. It's like, well, why does it have to fit in with the Justice League?
Yeah.
Because I think a Shazam solo movie would actually be really good, because it's a kid who turns into a superhero. So that is a huge demographic that they
you're going to get a broader audience.
Right. So I thought that was really...
The only thing that's... because I agree, but that actually seems like that's a better Christmas movie, almost in line with like the Harry Potter type thing, where it's a kid who finds out he gets magic powers. It's more of a Christmas or a Thanksgiving.
Lightning bolt,
versus
and then they
a
were
summer
also,
movie.
They were also talking about, Black Adam, well, why would you waste Black Adam unless you're going to make a secret society of supervillains? And then they went off on that, talking about how stupid that is, and DC's stupid for doing that. And are they going to have...
Why would you make any movies?
Right. Are they going to have the secret thing in the swamp? Oh, great, now we get a swamp. Maybe Swamp Thing will show up, too. It's like, they're just going off. And they were talking about how is Sandman going to work in the Justice League? It's like,
I kind of love a new Swamp Thing movie,
but Sandman's not going to have anything to do with Justice.
But they were taking the Marvel formula and trying to apply it to DC. Yeah. But
it
one
might
of
the, not be the same formula.
It was funny because Ryan was in today, and one of the things they were talking about, one of the other movies coming out is the Flash Green Lantern. And they were talking about, how dumb that is, and why would you ever team those two characters together? Well, he bought the Brave and Bold collection of the Flash and Green Lantern story. So it was like, I'm listening to this podcast just going, it's another comic shop, but it's just two guys, sometimes the employee jumps in between people.
Okay.
And I wish he had been around a little bit more, because they got into this big thing about Darkseid is going to be the villain in Justice League. And that's so stupid, because we already know Thanos is going to be in the Avengers, and they were both created by Jack Kirby. It's the exact same character, just the two different companies and stuff. And I'm like, sitting there going, no, in so many ways, no.
In every way possible.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, well, first of all, Jim Starlin created Thanos, and he is nothing at all like Darkseid, other than they both have like bluish purple skin.
Yeah, they're Stanley don't even have the same haircut.
Other than that,
they're kind of similar build, maybe. But
so actually, I just looked up Thanos just to make sure, because I was pretty sure Jim Starlin. But February 73 was when Thanos first appeared.
Well, Stanley created everybody, according to these guys.
Shut up! Don't get on Stanley.
Yeah, leave Stanley alone. He's 90.
Darkseid.
I have no problem with Stan Lee.
Darkseid was created 2 years before.
I have more
before
of a problem
him,
with like how people like perceive him
first.
As some sort of like comic book god.
But it was just actually 1970. Yeah.
Necessarily think
but it
that
was just,
at all.
I just found it funny just listening to this, just going, okay, I understand you don't like DC, but you're already saying your movies that are coming out in 3 years are going to be really bad. And my favorite was, they don't even know who's writing or directing these movies, and I'm going, these are 3-4 years away. They don't know who's writing or directing Ant-Man that's coming out next spring. So don't go on that.
Be realistic in your hatred.
And this is all still even rumors.
Well, and Marvel has their other 3 weeks.
Yeah. But it was just funny.
Marvel
just
has their movies planned out for the next 10 years.
Yeah, more than that. Or no, yeah, it is 10, but it's But I just thought it was funny, just the hatred trying to fit something into the other Marvel's formula.
Yeah,
where it's like, well, if Marvel could make X-Men and Fantastic Four and Spider-Man movies, they wouldn't all have to fit together, and that's kind of how DC is. They can make different movies. They don't necessarily all have to be creating a Justice League.
So, they've been... We all know that they've been... DC's been releasing a lot of, like, new book ideas and stuff like that. Like, we were talking about a few of them before.
Oh, yeah, that is a couple things. Yeah, there's two new Batman books.
We were talking about the Batman books. But before we talk about them, they also have new ads that are coming out in the books. I don't know if you saw them.
I've seen them. They're a little
racy.
Edgy.
Yeah. Can I say one of them?
Sure.
It's okay.
They're print. They're in the comics.
It's going to be a print. Yeah. One of them says it's for Nightwing, and it says...
Grayson.
You think you... Yeah, it's for Grayson. It says, you think you know Nightwing, you don't know Dick. And I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, and there was another one for Teen Titans.
It's getting a little bit more controversy, mainly because... Not because of what it says, but... You know, they keep a lot... It's a lot of Marvel people that... they're just hating on DC for everything possible.
But if Marvel did the same ad, it would
they'd
be hilarious.
Okay with it. Yeah, it would be fine. The whole thing about it is, like, a bunch of people were posting on there that, like, it's attitude, so thus it's the 90s again for DC. And I'm just like, no, it's not exactly the 90s again for DC, you know? And you can't say that the 90s thing, because frankly, okay, I see a little bit of the 90s coming out in a lot of these companies because they have a lot of 90s people right now working for them that were big in the 90s. Marvel has a lot of that too going on. So it's not just them. So, but I don't know. Some of the ads were kind of neat. I think that was the most edgy one, though.
Well, the other one I saw was the Titans one. It says, they call us weapons, we call them tools.
Yeah.
Talking about the Justice League.
Okay. Yeah, and they were burning an issue of Justice League number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other one had... I forget what the Robin one says for Robin Rises, but it was really cool. It had... It was Damian in his Robin suit with the hood up, but underneath it wasn't his face. It was just a skull. I forget what it said, though, on it, but I didn't remember it being really edgy. Like, it wasn't as bad as that, but I don't know. I just feel like people are just hating on it just a little. For any reason possible. Whatever they bring out, they're going to hate on. So.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, people at least talking about them get the word out there about them.
Yeah, because at worst, they make more bland ads that people just look past. At least, hey, they're talking about them.
I mean,
there's no
such
thing as bad publicity.
No, they can't.
The whole thing about it is that all the books that they have the ads in are teen books. Like, so what... You know, is it hurting? And it's selling teen rated books.
But for trying to beat public perception or anything, they're never going to be the most popular book.
What they do, the same people are still criticizing.
Yeah,
they're not going to be Marvel with these people that are Marvel people anyways, because they're Marvel people. They're not going to get them anyway. So I don't really, you know, I read both sets of titles. If it's a good book, I'm going to read it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just this other podcast, it was just funny. They were talking about, you know, Marvel's had this plan since Iron Man number one. They knew exactly how everything. I'm like, no, they didn't. Iron Man one was
a
shot
risk
in the dark.
Well, and Ant-Man was supposed to precede Iron Man anyway.
Yep, and you're telling me this plan, you know, and the Hulk movies tied into this? No, they just, this has worked out, but I certainly don't think this was the plan from the get-go. This just, Iron Man, and without Robert Downey Jr.,
Iron Man didn't work.
So just you know, it was.
No, you threw
everything worked.
You threw in the stinger scene about the Avenger Initiative, and if Iron Man would have bombed, they would have continued along that.
Yeah, it would have.
I mean, Disney
Dragon. That's it.
You know, Disney owned Marvel at that time, or no, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They bought them right after Iron Man 2 came out.
Wasn't it Paramount that did that movie?
Paramount did it up until
because they still get money from.
They do, but that's they still get residuals on Indiana Jones too, even though Disney owns that. I think the Avengers was the first one. There was a Disney release, but if you there is no, you know, Magic Kingdom and Cinderella's Castle.
Thor and Cap may have been Disney releases.
They were owned by Disney, but they were Paramount.
I thought Iron Man 2 was the last.
No, because that was only the second movie that came out. Because it was Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2.
Yeah, but Disney's owned them for quite a while now.
Yeah, I think they owned them, or they bought them right after Iron Man 2 came out.
Oh, okay.
And that was part of the issue was kind of reconciling the rights with Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
But they own them now, so.
So what else we got news-wise? Like I said, I'm out of
yeah,
the
way.
Andy Serkis said he's going to be in Avengers.
Okay.
Age of Ultron. I don't know. As
so Gollum or?
Either Gollum or Caesar, I guess.
Or did he do Silver Surfer, too?
No, Doug Jones.
Doug Jones.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He was Abe Sapien.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was Abe
okay.
Sapien, yeah.
That's going to be an interesting movie.
Voiced by yeah. Frasier's yes. brother.
That's right, yeah.
They announced the Deathstroke book.
Yes, yeah, that was announced just today, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Written New and Deathstroke. Drawn by Tony Daniels.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's hit and miss for
I
me.
I like his art. I don't...
Yeah, I wasn't real thrilled with his writing. Yeah. People really like that with Higgins doing it, but it didn't sell well. So, and then they gave it to Liefeld, and then everything went to heck.
Yeah, I want to go back and read.
What?
So, what's that?
Oh, you want to talk about... you? That was your favorite book last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to go back and read the Higgins run on that.
Yeah.
It's only, what, like 8 issues?
Yeah. What I think it was just that? The first trade, Deathstroke.
Yeah.
I read the first one. It was okay, but it was kind of a one and done, and I think that was a bad plan on that one because I didn't feel I had to read the next one. Where so many other books, you finish that first one, you just, whoa, I want the next one.
Look at Moon Knight right now. It's
yeah.
Every issue
is
one
and
done.
And yeah.
How's that selling for you?
Okay, but it's starting to drop, and my fear is a lot of people have said cancel
after
it after six.
Alice is gone.
So my concern is how much is it going to drop, and that's a hard one to guess because you don't want to order
yeah.
less than how the last one sold. So
yeah,
that's a tricky one.
Yeah, every
Warriors
book they
were
put
damaged
Deathstroke
this week anyway.
Yeah,
every book they put Deathstroke on has been canceled.
That's why he's Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm.
He touches the book.
No, I heard Arrow got canceled because he was in it, too. Yeah.
That'd be awful.
Well, DC's stupid, so it doesn't matter.
What am I going to have to do with my Wednesdays now?
Shield.
That's not
that's
Wednesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's when you probably
Flash
watch
is,
it.
Well, it is
Flash
when I watch it because I'm putting the books
Shield.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, don't ask me what day the TV show is on. Sorry. I'm a DVR boy.
It's the right time for the Deathstroke book. I mean, after the last season of Arrow.
Yes, and he's going to be playing a big role in Suicide Squad, too. Which is next week.
And probably in the show, isn't he? Because
he's yeah.
in that prison.
Well, he's in a prison. He can't get out of that.
They'll make him
what?
Suicide Squad.
People don't get out of prison.
I like how that's where you guys like pause that. People can't get out of prison. Silence.
And we're all looking at you.
Yeah.
So.
I was sitting here reading. I'm looking at a book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even look like I'm about to say.
We were talking about when you get out of prison.
Right.
Are you trying to ask me how to get out of prison?
Yes.
Yeah. It's easier than it looks.
You got that big back tattoo that kind of had the map and.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
How does one read a back tattoo map?
With a mirror.
Well, someone else does.
With a obviously.
You take a mirror. You need two mirrors, and you do it, and it's backwards, but you figure it out.
Because you know how many mirrors they let you have in prison. You know, just tons of them. It's not like that's the easiest thing in the world to
make
a shiv out of.
Can I get one of those full-size mirrors for my cell, please?
Yeah. I need a mobile mirror. It has wheels on the back, you know, follows you around.
Can I get a friend to come read this for
can
me?
Can you take a picture of my back for me? Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I need a picture.
Can I blow
yeah, a camera
up?
Would be easier than a...
yeah.
Come on, Pat.
He's got a Polaroid. Anyway.
Well, now what are we talking about? Did you guys talk about the Batman books that are coming out?
No.
Well,
you got,
for you.
You got Arkham Academy. I got them mixed up. You got Gotham Academy.
Arkham
Academy. It could be cool. I'd read it.
Arkham Academy.
School for Villains.
Yeah. You
Gotham
have,
Virgin Deadly Class.
You have Arkham Manor. And I don't know if they're part of the same universe.
Oh, I think they are, but I just don't know exactly how that... I didn't read
like,
enough
it
to...
It looks like the one that the manor is Gotham Manor, and it becomes like... It's
yeah.
not Gotham Manor. It's
Wayne Manor.
Wayne Manor, and it becomes like
Arkham.
The Asylum or something. I was just like, how does that happen?
Well, his mother was in Arkham, so...
I really don't think it's a good idea. These two books. And I'd have to read them to know, but it kind of reminds me of the Green Team book and the other book that came out.
The Movement.
And I have that same feeling about them. Like, it's like, these are just bringing them out just because they you could somehow attach them to, like,
Batman. I do remember they had good creators. So, you know, you never know. Sometimes those weird books are the ones that kind of click.
Catch on.
Yeah. Because, you know, oh, look, another superhero team book.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Or boring. You know, hey, let's do another Hawkman book because they've gone so well. So maybe something completely
weird. It's
weird,
though, because it seems like when a customer's coming in for looking for wanting DC or Marvel, they're looking for that superhero book. They're not looking for the off book, and you can sell them.
They are, right, but sometimes the people that are getting those superhero books, like The Wake. The Wake's definitely not a superhero book, but it's probably one of my top 10 sellers.
Yeah, but who makes it?
It's Vertigo. So it's,
it is DC.
If it's under
the DC name, though, it's almost as if they're expecting it to be
a superhero book
like Marvel. If you're looking for a Marvel book and you know give them something that is just like, yeah, this doesn't sound like, you know, DC or Marvel, then it seems like they're not as...
I'll knock DC for this.
I think
that's
what Green Team DC and Movement, I think that was the problem.
DC does not advertise their smaller books very well.
Yeah. No.
Like, every single book has that two-page spread for the John Romita Jr. Superman.
Yeah.
Superman is popular. Yeah, it hasn't done great, but you don't need to give it a
two-page
spread.
They really
spread.
Wanted
Everybody knows
to play
who
up.
Superman is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I agree. They really wanted to play up that John Romita. I mean, like, Colin has a poster
that was because that was the big get for...
so be it, but for months it's been that...
Right, but for Dan DiDio, that was the one guy since he's took over that he's wanted to get to DC,
But that isn't the reason, though, to make posters and all these advertisements.
But when he's in charge of that, he wanted to push it. He wanted that book
but
to be successful.
I don't think he's disagreeing, though, that...
But I'm just saying that's why it got
pushed
so hard.
That's why they did it, but it wasn't a good idea.
G.I. Zombie or Infinity Man.
Yeah, you know.
Western.
You don't do
smaller books.
You don't do
good.
It just because.
Right.
You
no,
like
but I'm
it.
Just saying that's why that got pushed.
Yeah, for that particular one. But I mean,
that's
I've
been what three
DC
or
books,
four months though that they've had that.
It has been since the announcement.
Who read it? It was just like okay, you know, because I'm just like okay, you know, it seemed like it was important to him.
Yeah.
But you know, he shouldn't have. They shouldn't have just made a huge advertisement for just this book. I mean, I'll give them this. They're wanting to boost Superman.
Yeah.
But, like, putting that on top saying, we have Romita, and then did they read the last thing drawn by Romita? It was Captain America. Like, and it was, like, one of his worst art.
And I don't think the art in that ad that's been there for 4 months is that great anyways.
I'll tell you the truth. The book, which
I haven't
is
read
one
it
of the things
we
that,
sold out when I was gone.
Oh, well, I won't talk about it then.
Go ahead.
I'll talk about this much of it, though. The
Superman has a K.
It does have a K.
I read it. Yeah.
I thought the art was better in the book.
It was from the ad. I was like sold, thinking I don't think I'm gonna like this art. And then they had that like 4-page preview, and that's when it started to sell me a little bit on it.
It didn't sell. Yeah, it sold
more
me enough
so
for
than
that
the 2-page spread.
Because I said the same thing. I said that the art looks. What didn't sell me is that was the worst part that they could have pulled from that.
Yeah.
I would have pulled the beginning. Really,
yeah.
It gave them that because the beginning was really intriguing about the story,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't touch that at all. Like,
at least it showed that it wasn't going to be how he was in a 2-page spread with it, like the face and the way his teeth were, and like the drool running down his chin. It was like it looks terrible.
Yeah, and there was this monster in the book at the end, and you read that. I don't know if they gave it a name or anything. But it reminded me of those characters he drew for Captain America, the big teeth, the weird long teeth and stuff. America. And I was reading it, I was like, wait, did this creature escape from Captain America into Superman? Like, because we were talking about other dimensions.
When time broke,
Angela
came over and the teeth monster went over to...
Oh, that reminds me, one of the announcements, I don't know if it was an announcement or not, but one of the things they mentioned about Mark and the Hickman's Avengers is dealing with time.
Woo! Time travel.
So I guess we're going back to the time.
They're dealing with time travel at Marvel?
It has something to do with, like...
It's unique and different.
To me, I didn't read what it was about, because I don't know if they even said what it was about, but it looks like it's about time travel is broken. It seems
they've
like they're going back to that.
That was since Infinity.
Yeah.
And before that, Age of Ultron.
Yeah,
that's what I meant,
But, I don't know. Maybe he's finally going back to that. This was the story he was wanting to tell, where they finally were like, wow, we're really screwing this up because we didn't do anything with that.
I was liking his run for a while there, and then after Infinity, it just...
Yeah.
It seemed like it just wasn't getting anywhere. It was
I get really, really bored with him after a while. Like, yeah. Fantastic Four, I had the same issue. Like, I read Fantastic Four once he started, because I was reading Fantastic Four since Mark Waid was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably almost 10 years ago. And it was really good, and then Hickman... It was somebody else, and then Hickman. And after a while, I was just like, what is he talking about in this? Like, what is this? Like, there's horse people, and there's other creatures, and they're going underground, and they find the High Evolutionary, and I'm like, what does this have to do with everything? Where does this all tie in?
His style of writing works better for his creator-owned books.
Yeah.
Where he can completely do whatever he wants. Then when he tries to fit it into...
Yeah.
Someone else's playground.
But what's awful with him, how many Avengers books have they given him to write with? And it's just like... And at the same time, the movie is so big, and you can't sell it to people because you can't. I can't talk. I couldn't ever be able to talk a person into getting Avengers. They just let's say there's a teenager. He just saw this movie. He's like, you know, I'd like to read the Avengers, and I'd be like, I wouldn't, because you would not understand what's going on.
Even if he was starting at the beginning of his run, it's completely different than the movie.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to jump into. I can't imagine anyone jumping into the main Avengers book.
Then I'd have to ask the person, well, have you heard of Hyperion?
Right. Well, see, you know, it's kind of funny, because when Avengers World came out, I'm like, okay, here's for people that want to jump in. That first one felt very Avengers-y, jump in, and then all of a sudden it became Atom Smasher, and, you know, it was just,
Well, and that's, you know, that's my huge problem, because when you start out reading Marvel, like, I can start reading an issue. This is something they've been doing for a little while. If I start reading the first issue, I get hooked right then, and then after a few issues, I'm just like, why did I pick this up? Like, this was a bad idea. This I'll be talking about, Silver Surfer, which is one of my biggest issues right here. It's just, you know, I don't know. They cannot keep me reading. The only thing that's keeping me right now is Spider-Man. And, well, Daredevil. Daredevil's keeping me. Spider-Man it's one of those books that is always going to have me, because I'm a Spider-Man fan.
Right, but that's to say, it's a love of the character, not a love of the book.
But
I'm noticing,
after Superior, I was just like,
number one sold really well. Yeah. Number two did less. I got a lot of threes left.
Yeah. It was just Superior. It was a good idea. Went on, just was really good for a while. Got to the end of if this is what he wanted to end, which it probably wasn't.
It didn't feel like it. It felt like it was.
So it's okay. We have more coming.
Yeah. We're Superior. Only like one, don't we?
No, two
or three.
Oh, okay. It lingers more in the new previews.
Oh, is there?
And then we're going to have a huge crossover coming up.
Spider-Man. Spider-Verse.
But that preview did it no favors, having it Spider-Man 1602.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even read it. Yeah.
I'm interested in the idea of it, because it's going back to the other storyline of Straczynski's The Other. I like that story. What I'm not liking about it, it just seems like the worst time ever to have a crossover for Spider-Man, because he just got back into it, and your story is really going slow.
Well,
and
it's all three
of a sudden,
issues old. Yeah.
It's a crossover.
I think that book, more than most others, needs a new creative team.
Yeah.
I mean, it slots went on for so long, and it's time to
get
some new ideas into it.
I don't like that he uses... who's the artist on the book?
Ramos.
I'm not a huge Ramos fan.
It's not bad, but it's not great.
Yeah. Well, one of my biggest issues with him, and I always look for it, is a lot of his characters always have their mouth open. And I find that odd.
That's my problem with Sal Buscema.
Yeah.
Everybody was always yelling at each other. Every scene, everyone was always yelling.
You know, all their mouths are open, and I'm just like, and they always have big teeth, huge eyes, and I'm just like, what is this, a manga? Like, I don't know what I'm reading. Who I really like that they've been using is Stegman. I've really liked Stegman's art on Spider-Man. And he's, I guess, one of their young guns, because they brought that term back.
Yeah, young gun who's been working there for 10 years.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, too. I was like, he's been on stuff before. But anyways.
I've been open, they had Diodato as a young gun. And I'm like, wait a minute, he was working on continuity comics in the early 90s. So.
Yeah.
Young is relative.
Yeah.
Younger and Stan Lee.
Did 2099 come out this week?
Next week.
Okay.
That looks interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, again, once it comes out, it's going to be stuck in that crossover.
That's true.
So, that's, you know...
I like Peter David, though. He's...
Yeah, but it's not... Unless he's the one running the show for this,
he's really just writing.
So, you know, you're going to get a little bit of Peter David, and all of a sudden you're going to get Peter David writing kind of what Dan Slott's story is going to be. And it'll derail it. And that's what Marvel does. They like to derail stuff with weird crossovers. That's one thing I did like about Forever Evil. I thought it was better organized than how they did a crossover. It was an event... DC's been doing a lot of crossovers that involve a character or a certain team. Forever Evil was a Justice League crossover.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The only book that it did affect, and I will say that, is Nightwing. It didn't delay Nightwing or what they were going to do with Nightwing. But that's it. That's all it did.
But that's because Batman went to year zero, or went to 0 year.
Yeah.
Well, and because of what happened with him, and it got delayed just because they couldn't reveal his final fate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I'll give that. But Green Lantern sticks with its own.
You could keep reading the rest of the DC books, and they were unaffected.
Yeah.
I can read Batman while Forever Evil is going on. And it won't
and
mess
it won't,
up.
Right.
But Spider-Man, now all Spider-Man books, so if you're reading Spider-Man, it's going to get...
All
it's
going to
be a tie into this. Especially 2099, right at the beginning.
This month now, we're seeing...
But how's that going to tie in with Axis?
Who cares?
We're seeing all of these other Marvel books
or
not tying to Original Sin.
Wait, we should all be worrying about Axis. Forget Original Sin, because it's time for Axis now. Or Sixes, yeah. Isn't that those little candy, like, M&M's?
Sixlets.
That's what the sixlets. Those things taste awful. I'm not a fan of those. But anyways.
I think I remember loving them. I think they're... Yeah, I think they...
Oh, you know, I'm confusing them with another candy. They're
see, what's awful?
We don't need to talk about this candy on the podcast. But I... In Canada one time, I got a candy that was called Skittles, I think it was. It was Smarties. They're not the same Smarties.
Okay.
They're like these
Canadian
M&Ms.
Smarties?
Let's take M&Ms, they candy coat them, but they flavor them like fruit.
With the chocolate still inside?
With chocolate. So the shell is a fruit
flavor.
So
it's a Skittle.
It tastes awful.
Sorry, Canadians. Chocolate in the middle.
Well, I got distracted there for a minute, and I'm
We're talking
like
about
lost.
Candy. What's your favorite candy, Colin?
Yeah, okay.
Chocolate Skittles.
Come on, you're on the spot here.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
But anyways.
Way to distract us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now you have dead air.
How did I distract you?
We didn't have dead air.
How did you get onto candy?
Cotton candy?
Sixlets.
See, what are you talking about?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was
you
just
said sixes.
Sixes, because
so really,
that's their logo.
You started this.
Only because you were talking about Axis, which is actually
Colin.
Called
sixes. Yeah, Colin, come on. Stick with it. We talk about comics here. That's a podcast.
No, we're not done. We haven't talked about comic books yet.
Okay, well, let's start talking about...
Okay. Well, I'm thinking we can go way back, because we didn't talk about... Because we got to talk about last week's books, but we also got to talk about the books before last week.
We forget what I read 2 weeks
ago. So, Original Sin. Did we talk about Original Sin 4?
No, because...
Because that had the big surprising ending.
That we... Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Nobody was expecting SpongeBob
No, I didn't see that.
But the Chewbacca cameo.
He was just
was
there.
Awesome.
Him
yeah.
and
Patrick.
Mer-
what did you do?
Yeah, Patrick. It was all Patrick.
It was
and,
the watcher.
And Mermaid Man was there. It was nuts.
Barnacle Boy. Yeah.
Barnacle Boy and Mermaid.
For those of you listening, Colin does not look happy right now.
No, just Adam likes to take us into tangents. At least he hasn't talked about video games.
Oh, okay.
But Original Sin 4...
SpongeBob SquarePants video game that I know of. So.
We found out what really happened to Nick Fury, and I did enjoy how Winter Soldier was hitting people with his head. That was a pretty...
Yeah.
That was a pretty, you know, if you got a head in your hand...
Why not use it?
And then one place holding the
head... Fury's head is
He's holding
it by
the hair and he's smacking people.
Oh!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert for a two-week-old
book.
He has
the eye in one hand and the head in the other.
Wait a second, though. Spoiler alert for a two-week-old book that we called the week before it even came out that that's what it was going to be.
This is worse than Colin talking about candy.
He's going to feed me to the gorilla later.
But number 5 that came out today was good. That's I was just texting with Matt about that. It was good. A little more of an interlude type of book, but it was good. It was a lot about Nick Fury.
So does it actually look like it's going to be able to wrap up in eight
issues? I don't know.
Or is it
I don't know. It's
going to
wrap up. Well, it's going to wrap up in three more.
And then some point
issues. I don't
issues.
Know, because this one really didn't advance
then
as far
Alpha,
as who killed the Watcher and
Omega.
The Eye Guy and Execumatrix.
That's his name. Eye
the
Guy.
The Orb. I'm
no,
sorry,
I
the
like,
Orb.
I like that better.
Eye Guy.
The Eye Guy.
That would have been a better name.
Does it make any sense that the guy communicates with eyes? Like, how do eyes communicate?
By blinking.
I don't know.
They don't have eyelids.
Oh.
You can't communicate with them in that way.
As the iris and pupil expands and contracts.
He can only do
out.
That with light. That's how eyes work.
He's the eye guy. He can command it.
But yeah. One thing I completely agree with Matt, the art on this series has been fantastic. Diodato's really hitting it. The mood,
of course
everything.
Matt's going to say
well, I know
that.
Matt, right, I understand. But I'm just saying it has been really, really good.
Well, it fits the story.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Sometimes a lot of these. Sometimes I think Marvel doesn't fit like creators to stories very well. Sometimes DC doesn't either. But I've always kind of seen that with Marvel anymore that they don't fit like the right art with the story. If it's darker art, you know, it should be a little darker of a story that they're telling. And this is pretty dark of a story that they're trying to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I always thought he fits.
Killing a being and taking his eyes?
The only funny thing about Mike Diodato is he draws Norman Osborn to look like Tommy Lee Jones.
Mm-hmm. He just looked like somebody.
Yeah. He could
Or you just
don't
even agree with
me? No, I don't care if you agree with me or not. Okay.
They should make him look like William Dafoe, really.
No.
No? William Dafoe already looks like a goblin. Without a mask.
Yeah, without the mask.
William, would you like to come out? And, oh, sorry.
If you got him for the podcast,
I'd be creeped
I'd
out,
it.
But yeah.
I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, well, it just happened.
He just came out of the back closet.
I'd be like, Colin, what was
I'll
he doing in
what,
there?
Guys, you know. No.
He's
okay.
Playing Russian roulette with Christopher Walken in the back.
When's Scott Snyder going to call?
Oh, if only. Wicked and Divine number one. You read that.
That was awesome.
I thought that was fantastic.
That was awesome.
Yeah, now, I want to contrast that, and we'll get to it in a bit, but that with Outcast number one. Only in the sense I think they were both oversized number ones, but there was a ton of story in Wicked and Divine.
Yeah. I feel like Outcast number one, it started pretty strong, the first few pages, and then it kind of got, I don't want to say boring, but it didn't really advance a whole lot. I mean,
it was
some things, but
it was
for it to be
okay.
A double issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no reason for it to be as big as it was.
No.
I don't think.
There was a lot of extraneous.
Well,
I was reading it last night and I was falling asleep while reading it. I looked over and Debbie was taking a video of me, like the book falling on my face constantly.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, the book, the hype was just Kirkman.
Yeah.
That was it.
But Wicked and Divine, I thought, was really good. Basically, it's about...
You really jumped all over your list there.
Well, no, I'm going this way. Time-wise.
He's changing it up.
Well, no, because when I was writing them down, I started with last week's books and then the week before. Jeez. But it's about, like, I don't know, not necessarily gods reincarnated, but
I mean, there,
what if you could be a god, but only for a short period of time?
There's... Is it 12? 12 of them?
Something like, I don't know. Because
we'll
it started
say,
with four in the flashback sequence.
Yeah, but
the
table had a lot more seats than those skulls around it. So there's a number of people that somehow, and it looks like they're normal humans for a portion of their life, and then suddenly they are become deities for 2 years. Or
for 2 years, and they're reincarnated every 9 years.
But they're humans before that. It seems like they just suddenly have this power. Because the one girl, she lived a normal life until she was a teenager, and then she suddenly had this... ability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they lived for 2 years. And
thought the art was fantastic. The story.
It was really engaging.
And it had a twist ending that made you, like what I was saying before, it made you want to go to the next issue, whereas like Deathstroke didn't have that.
Yeah.
I know that was 2+ years ago, but it just made like, okay, I want the next issue now.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of Outcast. I was kind of like, okay, it's some weird horror possession type thing. I still don't know, was his wife possessed? Was his daughter possessed? What?
His wife.
But then he was accused of hurting the daughter?
I think when he was trying to...
So much unclear. Now, you don't have to make everything crystal clear.
I think maybe some of it was intentional to try and leave things up in the air for people to get people to come back. But I don't know. I think right now we seem to have a big influx in these horror books.
Mm-hmm. Boom is having a bunch of them.
Yeah, so I think you really have to get a solid first issue right now to sell. And that, I don't think.
And just on his name, and the art. My problem with the art was, especially early on, you had the very first scene with the kid, and then all of a sudden you have this adult, and he's walking out, and it's like, why is it so dark out here? Ma, he's talking to his mom, and then all of a sudden there's a kid in the cupboard, and I'm like, well, is this the kid that was in the first scene? And I'm flipping back and forth, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and that's not a feeling you want when you're reading a book.
Yeah.
Going, what's going on here? Because
I said before, I think that was intentional. I think they wanted
to.
I see what you're saying. It's not. It's not the grab you want to get, especially because they had a pretty big hook on that second page to kind of like surprise you and get you interested, and then they kind of
didn't see it for a while. Yeah. And then you're wondering, they're having the guys in the back room, and then the minister, and just it was all kind of it was all over the place a little bit. Yeah, it was. I didn't think it was great. It was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't. I don't think I'll pay the second.
Okay, so we're jumping around a little bit. Well, you don't want 25 copies?
Okay. No, not that it's eBay price now.
You're right. Well,
the first two aren't.
Right. Batman Eternal 11. I enjoyed.
Was that the.
But I see potential problems with that issue because the art. The art was very stylized.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Where the art was very stylized. It was very much like Chris Burnham, who did Batman Incorporated, but even more, a little more stylized. Some of the faces were really weird.
It worked for Batman Inc.
Yeah.
But for Batman Eternal, we had this very serious kind of story.
And we've had, we've had, some really good art. I forget who did the ones right before that. It was the guy who used to do Gotham City, Gillum March.
Yeah, Gillum March.
And stuff. And then you had that one, which was such a departure, which kind of worked only in the sense it was a departure issue. It was more Batman Inc. You had the Batman Inc. characters. You had Batgirl, Red Hood. Yeah. It didn't involve Batman at all, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a departure issue, but it was still continuing really story
threads. Oh, yeah. No, but
the art wasn't bad. It just, it was distracting. It took away from the story.
Yeah. But then last week's, all of a sudden we get Michael Janin, who's been doing a big run on Justice League Dark, and who I like a whole lot. And so the last two were very good. I read them both back to back last night, so I can't really separate.
Oh, the new one?
Yeah. My only problem with last week's one, there was a scene, it was Batgirl and Red Hood, and she goes, "What time is it?" And he goes, 11:45. We gotta go. My dad goes to try on a couple days. I'm like, well, what the heck did what time is it have to do with the fact
that
he's going to trial in a couple days? I just remember going, What? That
she had to catch a flight.
And actually, hang on.
And he was able. It's a different time zone. Gotham City's not even in the wherever they were. Were they in South America?
Yeah,
Brazil.
That's right. Well, if they feed a gremlin there, then.
I guess the story also has a lot to do with those crime masters or whatever they were from. I guess one of them was that Scorpion Girl. Is that that club of criminals or whatever?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My dad's trial starting now. Okay. Oh. We only have days to clear his name. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But still, it
seems really random. What time is it? Oh, it's already time for the trial.
Yeah.
Apparently, justice moves very quickly in Gotham.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you. But I like the stuff how they're getting in. Was it Harper Row?
Harper Row.
I like how they're getting her into it
and establishing with the way Tim Drake was talking. Like, who is this girl? Like,
right, and there's a scene. I think there was a scene in that issue where she has her laptop and it has a little bluebird on the back of it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Little things like that I liked. And then in the new one was very interesting with Stephanie Brown, the one that came out today. So
a few weeks ago, it was kind of cool with the. They were talking. It was a more Stephanie Brown issue where they went back in her past a little bit. Her dad was a game show host and all this. Yeah. And
she wasn't in this a lot, but there was enough to make you see where she's going.
Well, they showed you that she's going to be in a costume pretty soon. Yeah. I think that was in previews. Yeah. I saw that.
They've been handling this weekly series pretty well.
I think Eternal's been very good. I did not get caught up on Future's End.
Me either. It was one of the last things I wanted to.
What works for Eternal is that a whole issue seems to focus on for the most part, a single story. There's some, like, bleeding over, but with Future's End, like, you read a few pages, then suddenly it's a completely different story. Yeah. Next few
but
pages.
They also haven't finished anything. What's going on with Batman Beyond? No idea.
Yeah.
What are these criminals doing? What's Grifter? What's going on there? Yeah.
I'll give her credit for this. I like the ideas, and I want to see where it goes. That's why I keep reading it, but I'm not enjoying the issues as I'm reading them.
Right.
It's frustrating.
What they need to do, they need to do the old Claremont thing, whereas you had the main story in that issue, and then a couple... Or you move along and maybe you resolve one issue, but two more had started a little bit earlier and they continue. So there's a flow. This just doesn't seem to have a flow. Well, yeah. This just doesn't have a flow. I don't know what's going on. And I'm not committed to it. I don't know. Justice League 31.
I liked it, but
wanted a little more. So you had...
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, but you had Luthor confronting Bruce Wayne in his home. I loved when Alfred pulled the gun on him. Yeah. That was fantastic. That was
I like the Cyborg Shazam dialogue.
Yes. Yeah, I'm liking the Shazam part. And then, although, since when does he say abracadabra and something happens? That may have always been, but that I remember seeing that going, what? And then the pool table, well, we might as well play. Or pun. Yeah.
Come on, Colin.
That
game.
Was good. We had a pool table at the beach.
Oh, fancy.
My son apparently is now a pool shark. I don't remember what else happened. Did they just have an endless supply of clocks?
There wasn't a whole lot of action. It was like
they blow up, they just put one in front.
Dialogue between the different characters, that's it.
What?
They blew up the clock in Justice League, Lex Luthor.
Oh, okay.
She shot the clock.
Okay.
We are talking about Justice League.
We were, but just a random panel in the book.
You were just talking about Lex Luthor pulling the gun on him. That was all the same.
We moved on to them playing pool, and I just said my son is now a pool shark, and you said, so you have an endless supply of clocks.
No, I said, do they
pool
have an endless supply
of clocks? That's where I'm going. I'm going,
but I wasn't going to jump in front of what you said.
Okay.
Because you were talking still.
Okay.
And this is how the podcast gets derailed.
Yes, and that's a podcast. No, so good, but now they need to get it caught up.
Although it was Doug Mankey, dearly loved.
I'm sorry,
the Doom Patrol.
You know, I wasn't liking the issue until that last page, and it was the original Doom Patrol, not one of the more recent cobbled together thingies. That was the Doom Patrol. So we need a Doom Patrol and a Metal Men book. No, not a Metal Men backup in the Doom Patrol book. That was a disaster.
I would like a Metal Men book.
So that was... Ivan Rice, Metal Men, Doug Mankey, Doom Patrol. Okay, we got it.
There you go.
The other thing
fill out the new 52.
Yes.
The other thing I heard other people saying, I would agree with it with Justice League, the girl who's becoming Power Ring does not look like she's been a shut-in for the past...
Well, like I mean,
years. She's pretty well like, kempt.
Well, kempt. She had on makeup and lipstick.
But I think the frazzled. I'm enjoying that part of it, and just what the ring is and how.
But the really weird thing is that she's supposed to be the first female Earth
Green Lantern
that gets trained by Simon Best. So I'm wondering. Does he kind of convert her somehow?
Or the ring?
Yeah, does he change that power ring to become our ring?
We'll see, but I like that how when she shot it, then it said to her, oh, this could have been much easier, but now it will be more painful or something along those lines. Yeah, no, so that was interesting. Okay, so I liked it more than I thought. I'm sorry. I just remember reading going, okay, move along. Also one other thing about Batman Eternal. Did Alfred's daughter change color?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Because I'm reading that, I'm like, oh, she's African-American. When did that happen?
Yeah, I think...
She's such a good spy.
She could change colors. She's a chameleon.
That's her new name, the chameleon.
Okay, because I'm just like,
The different artists definitely...
Well, colors, colors. But, yeah, but I just found that just was a...
It's kind of like the whole Hulk green and gray thing.
Oh, okay,
she was supposed to be African American. They screwed up the coloring the first issue.
Starting July, now we'll be able to see who the colors are in the front.
That's true.
That's right.
So we can see.
Well, no, on the cover because I think it's always been credited
on the cover. Yeah.
The only problem is now you're going to have like four names on every cover. It's going to be
Batman Eternal.
Yeah. Here's who didn't work on this. And then Batman 32, which I thought was really good. Yeah. The only problem I had with it, one, the first page made no sense, where it was him saying, I need a new butler, and throwing the money roll in the guy's hat, and then it was never revisited. So I don't know
what
that meant or what that was supposed to tie in with.
Yeah, I was wondering if, like, did that take place after, at the, you know,
before? Yeah. I don't know, because obviously he's not dealing with Alfred. Does Alfred get thrown on the... during Zero Year, is he out of work? I don't... It was just so out of place.
Yeah, I've heard there's some like suspicion about who that guy is.
I don't know, though. And then the other thing is where he just kind of walked into the Riddler's place after they showed just how hard it was to get anywhere...
in Gotham.
In Gotham, everybody's having to sneak and hide and everything. And then he just kind of, oh, I know where he is, and he just literally walks right into his
place. And then he just falls right to where Lucius Fox is at.
Yeah, and just happens to be right there. Yeah. So, but other than that, it was an interesting book.
I liked his letter to Alfred, or recording for Alfred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this Riddler. This Riddler seems a threat.
Yeah.
Where Riddler never really has seemed to be a threat. This one seems a threat.
And I'm interested to see, you know, how he like ends up at the end of this, because we saw him in Arkham during Death of the Family, and he just kind of, you know, showed that he could get out at any time, but was just staying. So.
Okay, that's all I got. Pat.
Yes. Oh, okay. Books, yeah.
David, okay.
I read He-Man, Masters of the Universe, which I don't know. How does that sell here?
It does well. Much better than I expected.
It's a really interesting book. I grew up on the cartoon, so it was, you know, kind of why I picked it up. It's starting to deal now with She-Ra, which is his sister, if you didn't know that. It's interesting. Not really what I expected. The first six issues kind of dealt more with the classic characters a little bit more. And now it's kind of going deeper into the history more with the Evil Horde and the Snake Men and things like that.
I've been reading it just because I never watched the cartoons. So
yeah.
I never had the attachment to it.
But it was pretty good.
I knew of it. Yeah, but...
Yeah. He might be a year or two older than me, so that's probably why. Letter 44.
Way behind.
I actually didn't pick up last week's.
It was really good. It didn't take place in, you know, in space or anything else. It was actually like a flashback issue to before, like when the people that are on the Ark got recruited.
Okay.
And you know, the one guy, one of the. He worked at Harvard, and he went to Russia to find these diamonds, and he wasn't supposed to be there. Got thrown in a Russian prison, and that was kind of how he got pulled into this. And then the woman that gives birth, she had gotten pregnant and lost the baby, and at the same time, she had won, like, the Nobel Prize for Physics, and, you know, all this stuff was going, you know, she was at the highest of highs, and then she loses the baby, she's at the lowest of lows. And then she gets approached and decides, you know, yeah, I'm going to do this. So it was really good. Start to see the backstories, why these particular people volunteered for what's essentially a one-way mission.
Yeah.
So, you know, what was kind of their mentality before? Deadpool versus Carnage. If you like Deadpool, you like Carnage. It was decent, but it, you know, I'm kind of done with the Deadpool versus books for a little while. I know Deadpool versus X-Force started today, but I didn't pick that up.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
What?
Yeah, I know. But it's been like Deadpool versus something for the last few months. Red Lantern.
Oh, yeah, I read Red Lantern.
I really like the Red Lantern
books. Lantern might be the best Lantern book now.
I'd agree with that.
The only thing I didn't like about Red Lantern last week was how a certain Red Lantern departs.
Yeah. Now, okay.
Go ahead.
Guy,
talk about it.
Guy kicks Supergirl off the team.
Okay.
Here was my problem with that, because the week before Supergirl came out, and I started to read it, and I'm like, wait, what happened? And it says, as seen in Red Lantern's 32, and I'm like, that
didn't
hasn't
come out
yet.
Okay.
And that kind of bothered me.
See, so, I haven't been reading that because I heard it's bad.
Well, I just read it when it started with the red, you know, the Red Daughter of Krypton.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I've been reading it. But I like this, the new Red, the Judge. I forget what her name is.
Yeah, I don't know her real name, but I like the Judge. It seemed kind of odd to me the way Gardner sent Supergirl away, especially because she's the strongest one there. I don't understand why he thinks there's such a threat to her from Atrocitus and his.
Well, but I think it's more he just doesn't want her, you know, all the other Reds knew him and were part of him, so I get he's trying to send her away.
It seemed kind of, I don't know, it didn't seem like there was something to really prompt it. I don't know, it just seemed sudden to me, but.
Well, Guy becomes a Blue anyway, or, you know, according to Future's End, he becomes a Blue, so he, you know, maybe this is how he starts down that path, or, you know, who knows.
But, no, it was good. It's building up a lot of tension between this battle between
the Red Gardner's Lantern corpse Civil War, basically.
Yeah. Seeing them go after Rancor and Atrocitus, and them assaulting Ismalt, yeah.
And Sinestro. Is anybody else reading that?
I want to check it out, but I haven't read it yet.
It's been all right. I like Sinestro as a character. This is dealing a lot with him trying to rebuild the Yellow Corps, and not so much. So this issue, he's basically going out to find other Kugarians. And at one point they go to a planet where there's like a slave auction and he's like, yeah, I'll take all of them. And then he throws out this ridiculous, you know, low number, and the guy, you know, basically last while he's like, no, that's only people who are here that I'm going to kill if you don't give me this. So it's been a good book.
Yeah. I've heard it's not bad.
And then Laura Flees, which that ended.
I thought it was a good final issue.
Yeah. Except for at the very end, I thought it was kind of cheesy.
With him and
Newt, or not. Yeah.
Newt.
Yeah, Gort. That's right. Yeah, Gort. They're cousins.
Being 14th cousins.
Yeah.
And going off on their own. The only issue I had with the book, and it wasn't really even an issue, did Lord Flees seem smarter and more articulate in his dialogue in this issue than the rest of the series?
I think throughout the series, he's always had moments where he was articulate, but, and then other moments where he was,
I don't know, this issue,
the dumb monkey they kept calling him.
He just seemed like his dialogue seemed more, you know, on point, I guess. Not like it wasn't.
He seemed more focused.
Yeah, focused.
Yeah, he did.
But I thought it was a good issue, a fun way to wrap up the series.
Yeah, and I like the character.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interesting things you can do with him. I you know, clearly he didn't carry a book, although it did make, you know, 12 issues.
I think the only problem, this arc, I mean, it has been going on since the first issue.
Yeah.
And I think it drug on a little bit in the middle there.
Well, I think part of the problem is he is a one-note character.
Yeah.
He's greedy. That's all he wants is everything. What can you really do with
it? It was really interesting.
There's no redeeming quality.
It was, the book was really interesting whenever they were showing more of the, like, lanterns that were, or not, yeah, I guess lanterns that were captured inside of his ring, and they were, you know, in his mind and examining those things. And then they just kind of dropped that, went back to the whole.
Yeah, because you find out he himself is the power battery, not the battery, so.
How was that book selling?
It did okay. Yeah. Not great, but better than a lot of other books.
Yeah, I mean, for it,
the Lantern people like it.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It was a goofy little book. It was funny.
Yeah, it was a fun book.
But it wasn't, you know, anything serious. And not that I ever thought it would, you know, get to issue 100, but I
yeah. What?
Yeah.
Good thing they didn't put 3 digits on the cover.
No. Well, Marvel only does that when they double ship, so. Yeah, and that was it.
Any books you want to talk about?
Let's see if there's anything else that I
have. I know David has a wacky list.
I got a couple.
That's
yeah, Dave always reads different things.
Flash.
He's not a zombie. Flash. Like
I bought it, and that was one of the ones I didn't read, and I don't know why I didn't read it.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying the Robert Venditti, and it's him and Van Jensen, right?
I think so, yeah.
Flash stuff for us to get to see more of the future Flash and what's going on with the current Flash. So the current Flash, it was dealing more with, you know, Wally West and Iris. And it looks like they're starting to, like, plant the seeds for, you know, him and his relationship with Iris possibly coming back. And which I can't remember. Is it Patty who's...
Patty.
Yeah. So seeing that maybe, you know, hurting a little bit. And then it was interesting with the future Flash. You see him going back in time trying to get back to his, you know, the self that's in our current time, saying he's going to kill himself because of the damage of the Speed Force. But, well, you haven't read it. Do you want me to...
You can...
Okay. I'll try not to spoil anything, but you see him visit Captain Cold at one point as he's going back through time. And the way that the dialogue seems to go with him and talking to Captain Cold, it seems like Captain Cold does, like, stay on this path of being good. That we see, you know.
I did like that. I forgot that was a neat little part of Justice League, him getting a job at LexCorp.
Yeah, so it seems like he, you know, does, at least from Flash, get on to the Justice League and really turn things.
I'm saying I really like that issue of Justice League. I came off saying, eh, I really liked it.
You said to talk about it.
Yeah. And not that I've read every issue of Flash ever, but especially in the New 52, the Rogues are... They're criminals, but they're not bad.
Yeah, they had a code.
Yeah, I mean, they had Rogues Rebellion.
They've always had that.
The whole thing was they were against what the Crime Society were doing.
Right, Syndicate.
Yeah. Or, yeah, Crime Syndicate was doing. They're criminals, but not bad guys.
Yeah.
Aquaman
was pretty good last week. You finally get to see what was going on with the scientists in the base the bottom of the ocean, and what they were creating. So we have a new villain, and it's just a mix of all these, you know, parts from these other creations they're making. So Chimera. And then it's like Flash, that's kind of split between two stories. So with Aquaman, where he's been dealing with fighting the sea monsters, and then Mira dealing with more of the politics within Atlantis.
Okay.
So that was pretty good. Just coming off of that, you know, crossover, have a Swamp Thing, which is also pretty good a few weeks ago. Any of you guys reading Deadly Class at all?
I read the first one. I just haven't kept up.
I read a couple of those, but I'm behind on that.
So last week was number 6, just finished the first arc. So it was pretty good. It was a good conclusion. The first arc was a pretty brutal issue. Main thing it did was just finish establishing, like, who the main characters are. They're going to keep following from this point forward. I think it's taking a break. I don't think the next issue comes out until, like, September now. But,
Black Science did that, too.
Yeah. I think a lot of those image books, like,
do the first arc and then take a break to get caught up on the art.
Yeah. But it's good. I think the art in Deadly Class has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, the story's good, but the art, I think, is the biggest draw. So, is it, like, next week the trade comes out for the first arc, or is it...
For Deadly Class?
Yeah. I think it was out soon.
No.
No.
Deadly Hands of Kung Fu next week.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. For all three people that bought number 2.
So, that was pretty good. Ms. Marvel. I don't know if you guys are reading that.
No.
I think the first 3, so...
Yeah, I mean, Debbie and I are reading it. It's been... Like, I'm surprised how much I've liked it. I think with Marvel, I've been liking a lot more of these smaller...
Uh-huh.
Books are just contained within themselves.
Hawkeye. Oh, wait.
Hawkeye. Yeah, Hawkeye. Is that ever coming out with another issue?
Probably not.
Coming in 2015.
But Ms. Marvel 5, you finally see her really starting to, you know, learn what her powers and abilities are. There's a nice, like, training montage in the middle of it. Like a Rocky movie.
It's a shame when you open it, you'll get the song.
Eye of the Tiger starts playing.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. I think there's maybe one more issue left in this current, the first arc, but so far this has been a surprisingly good book, and it's not just trying to be like, you know, Ms. Marvel from before. It seems like they're trying to make it stand out on its own. And I think that's all I have that we didn't really talk about.
I read Fantastic Four number 6, which is an Original Sin
right
tie-in. in which we learn of Johnny Storm's original sin.
Oh.
Well, he has original sin. You don't really don't know what he did.
I thought you'd learn about the thing more than anybody.
Well, I thought he was
like
arrested.
Well, the thing, they share the thing there when the I-bomb or whatever goes off, and he goes over and confronts Johnny that you did something to me.
Yeah.
But it's not really explained. But the second half of the book is a flashback drawn by Dean Haspiel in the Kirby style of Reed trying to cure Ben from being the thing. And Johnny's, there's this like, giant egg type contraction. But it's not clear yet what Johnny did.
Did he cook the egg? He laid an egg. Okay, sorry.
He made an omelet.
But it was a lot better than the previous issue, which they were, the Avengers now have taken over the Baxter Building or protect, because the Fantastic Four not allowing.
Are lost
them
in time? Oh, sorry.
No, not allowing. Well, it's too dangerous. And they took the kids away. They're with at Camp Hammond, the Future Foundation, with Jim Hammond, and so that was a good issue. And I read Savage Hulk.
Okay.
How was that?
That's in my list. I saw the cover and I got very confused.
It was a flashback.
It was like the original X-Men on the cover.
It ties into a 70s X-Men issue.
It ties into X-Men 66, which is the last issue of Uncanny X-Men before the reprints.
Okay.
And it's the original five X-Men plus Havoc and Polaris.
Okay.
And Professor X, they're trying to, he uses his mental power to, his abilities to stop this alien invasion. I have to look. And now he's trying to cure, he thinks he can cure the Hulk. So it's them trying to catch up with the Hulk, with the Savage Hulk. I don't know. I wasn't expecting it to be a flashback.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know if it's going to be like that. We just saw generic.
It is. I heard the next one ties into, like, it moves forward a little bit, but it's still a flashback.
But I enjoyed it. I like Alan Davis. I like his art. He wrote and drew it. I enjoyed it. It was old school. And I read, I don't know how much I could say about this, but Trees number 2. Did you read that?
No,
Colin?
Not yet.
I heard it was very talky. It's very talky, and I need to read it again because I am not exactly sure what was going on. Because they show at the end of the first issue, they have those people in the Arctic, and they discover some poppies growing around the tree there, and it's very ominous of what those things are. But then there's a bunch of other scenes. It's completely different from the first issue. All these other people, the expanse. The expanse of the book is just so wide right now. Because they show, I think in Colombia, like a president of Colombia talking with a journalist, and there's a few other scenes. So I need to read again because it's very dense. Hickman dense.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay. Adam,
your favorite
book that you've read this month, last month?
Yeah. Was it last month?
Since ever.
Well, considering today's the second, it had to have been last month. Unless you read it yesterday or the day before.
We just had it for a
or
while.
Or yesterday.
Silver Surfer. I really gave it a pretty good chance.
You read it twice now.
Well, I skimmed through it. I didn't really read it. It wasn't good the second time either, but...
Tell us how you really feel.
There's a giant monkey with symbols.
Yeah, that's a bad
cover.
Yeah.
Well, it's
very reminiscent of that dupe cover that was like the arcade game thing. It's like, dear Mr. Allred, what's your issue?
I don't know. The monkey in the cover plays a part in it, but I don't know.
Well, of course.
It seems
that's
like it's such
there.
A big part, but it really is stupid. But basically the whole story... since the beginning of the issue, from issue one, is that there's these twin girls, and they one of the sisters moves on with her life. The other one kind of stays where she is. And she's basically abducted by aliens and taken to a prison on this place called, I forget what it's called, like the Empiricon or something. I don't know. But it's big, like, man-made space station that's just the craziest thing you've ever seen. Like, it looks like the play place at McDonald's. But that's who the architect of this place was. But
Mayor McCheese.
Or either that or it was Dr. Seuss. Because this thing, it just picture that you got this big... Take Magneto's Asteroid M and give it to Dr. Seuss and let him turn it into a society. But... He
some who's in a Zeneca Zeneca tree. And...
But basically, they abduct this planet. This thing is abducting people that are important to other people that they need to be a hero to save them from this thing called the Never Queen. I think it's called the Never Queen.
Never.
And she's basically some big space entity, bigger than Galactus. You know, she floats around in space and does stuff. But Silver Surfer's trying to figure out why this girl is important to him, because everybody else who was brought there who has perished, the heroes have perished, but their loved ones are still on the ship, are either like family members or something, which he is neither to her. But he decides, okay, you know, if he doesn't do it, then they kill her, supposedly, is what they said. And so he does it. He goes out there and tries to take her on, but he figures out more about the Never Queen, that she actually had something stolen from her, which is her heart. And it's actually powering the Empiricon. I think it's called the Empiricon. I really don't know.
It's like a sci-fi
I might be just song. Calling it something that I just made up, but it basically has that very similar name. No, what were you saying?
It says like a sci-fi romance novel.
Yeah, kind of. And, well, it gets to that point that I guess the Never Queen and Eternity... are like lovers or something, and I don't know, they're mad because her heart was stolen or something. But the whole thing about it is the heart's powering the Empiricon, and they go, and Silver Surfer goes back to stop this guy named Zed, which has like two faces or something, one under the other. His chin is actually another mouth.
Two-Face Zed.
And he has to be the worst, stupidest villain I've ever seen in my life, because he doesn't... There's nothing he does. Like, I don't even know, like... They give him a sword in it, and he's able to cut things... Like, he was able to cut her heart out and take it the power of the station, and he doesn't want to lose his home. Like, this is his biggest accomplishment or something. And, but it's her heart. Like, she needs it. Otherwise, she's going to destroy them anyways. So Silver Surfer goes and gets it back, and... And this girl, she kind of takes charge. I really forget her name, too. But she
Dawn
takes...
Dawn or
yeah,
something.
One of them. And she goes and she leads this group of aliens that were brought there, like her, to escape. And she takes charge like she's some important hero or something. But she's the most useless person I've ever seen. And she just can't... She doesn't know what's going on. She's, you know, she just thinks she does. Otherwise, she'd just walk out of an airlock and... float out into space. She doesn't know what she's doing. I think that's my biggest problem with the character herself, is that she acts like she knows all this stuff, but she's in a situation that she should know nothing about. You know, she was brought there for no reason. But it's their job to get the heart, which this is where it turns into something like Doctor Who. And that's
heard that from issue one. This is kind of a Doctor Who.
That's kind of one of the biggest complaints about this book. Everybody kept thinking, this is what he's doing. Because Dan Slott is a Doctor Who fan. And he's very vocal about it.
Like, well, you could tell that from the very first little preview thing.
Yeah.
Where he was very Doctor Who-ish.
But he has a companion. It's this girl. But she goes...
Skateboards the TARDIS.
And the heart actually looks like a big heart powering the station. Like, not a cartoony heart. An actual, like, organ. Yeah. And she... They decide they can take it out, but he can use the power cosmic, but I have to remember exactly how he says it, because he says, she says, what are you doing? She says, you can't do that. He says, I can't. I'm going to be busy. So doing what? The impossible. Now, what does that mean? So he has to make the heart smaller. Okay, somehow you can do that with this. Never Queen's heart, you know. Any other heart you put on that thing, I don't know if you can do that with. But he assumes with the power cosmic he can do that. Well, in order to make it smaller, it doesn't make it smaller. It makes it into one of those monkeys with the symbols. Because this was an important memory to her. Of some sort.
Wow.
And it starts transforming into different things that she's thinking about. Mainly memories. But according to what the Never Queen... she can put the heart back because the Never Queen has a big hole in her chest. Of where to put it back.
But now it's a monkey with symbols, and how are you going to put that back?
Well, it turns into... Then it later turns into a fence.
A fence?
Yeah, but she says... She says...
The time she read Tom Sawyer in high school.
I see her riding the surfboard with the fence above her head.
Yeah, so she says, oh my, it's winding down. Is that the beat of your heart? And she says, yes, and you must choose. And she says, choose. What is the never heart to you? There are so few possibilities left. What future... do you hold? Choose well. What does that have to do with anything? Like, what? Like, she can't just throw the monkey with the symbols in? She can't just throw a heart into her? No. She has to think of... Yeah, she has to do an Indiana... That's right. She has to do the Indiana Jones thing. For some reason, it shouldn't even matter. It's her heart. Just throw it in there. It's supposed to work, I was assuming. No, she has to... Well, she has to think, what future do you hold? And everything she keeps thinking of, and she says, it's my gate, the front gate. What does that mean? Oh, here we go. We're doing this, board. We're doing this. And she throws, I guess, the fence in, but we never see it. And I guess that works. I don't know. The fence powers her body somehow. And
so jam a fence into your chest.
Yes.
Somehow, I don't think it'll work.
And then she's just happy. She's waving. And this is the worst part. This is really... It's this joke that threw me off of this book completely. She says, at some point... You know, does everybody know how Silver Surfer calls his board? He says, no. To me, my board. Okay? Well, she got that confused, obviously, because she's an idiot. She thought his name was... She says, sure, I guess it's just you, me, and to me. And he says, who's to me? Is that one of the aliens? And she says, no, I was talking about your board. She got it confused. And I was just like, I can't read this. This person's an idiot. Like, am I going to have to keep up with this for another... For issue four? And she's just going to...
So this is the companion that's the idiot?
The companions in Doctor Who are a lot smarter than this, at least, usually. It's just she does not belong there at all in space. She is going to die in space.
Well, it looks like a human and a ladybug got the mutagen from King.
Yeah, she wears this dress. But she's been wearing this dress since she was a little kid.
Yeah, that's the preview.
It's the same dress that she was.
She's the girl who waited, or the girl who wore the dress.
Yes. She's the girl who...
The girl in the flower dress.
She'll be dead by issue four. But, and then... What's her name in Eternity? They get back together, and then it says the beginning, which I thought the comic book was the beginning, but I guess we haven't got the beginning yet. I don't know. Like, I really gave this book a chance, and the first two issues weren't horrible, and I wanted to see, and this is how it ended, with the joke to me, and I think I'm done. So, I don't know. The best thing about this book, really, even though, as Colin says, this cover isn't really good.
Yeah, the book looks pretty.
The interior of the book... Allred did a really good job on it. It has a lot of that old feel to it. Story-wise, I just don't care. Like, I really don't... I'd rather see Silver Surfer doing whatever he wants to do. And actually, I gave this a shot because I wanted to see a Silver Surfer book and how it did. And in this case, like, he just doesn't... Like, I don't know what the point of him is, really. I don't know... Unless he's a Herald of Galactus... All he does is, you know, use the power cosmic, and it can basically, according to this book, do anything it wants, but including making a ginormous heart into a symbol clanging monkey. So it's, I don't know. I really think he's just trying too hard to make this Doctor Who, and I think that's what's going to hurt the book. And I think issue three is really was the key. Like, for me, I give it an arc, and then after that, if it really didn't hold up in an arc, I don't see much future.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of people are staying on mainly because of the art.
I think that's really what it is. It's this Allred art, it just kind of works with the space feel and everything. But just too many crazy things happen. I don't think it's Dan Slott's thing. I really don't. I don't think he's ever really... I could be wrong, but I don't think he's ever done something so just an odd book. Like this, where everything, you know, it's in space, everything can happen. I could not see Dan Slott writing Doctor Who. I couldn't. I could see him writing Spider-Man because he seems to do that character fairly well. He did good on that that Avengers book with a lot of young kids on it, that Avengers Initiative book. I could see that, but when he does something like this, he just, I don't think he has, like, the thought process and the imagination to, like, throw together something like that. It just seemed really weird. Just a little too weird. So, but now, that's the main book I want to talk about. Everything else everybody talked about, but I think that was, like, one of the worst reads I've read for a while. So,
wow.
Okay. So, next week, we have the 100th Anniversary Special Spider-Man.
25 years early.
Yes. Amazing Spider-Man 1.3.
Might not make it that far.
Avengers 32, another Sin crossover. I'm like three behind on that one. I know you don't care, but I am. Chastity number one, because you know, you can't mine enough of those Chaos characters. Daredevil 5. The only reason I'm pointing this out is so far we've had 1.50, 2, 3, 4, 0.1, and now 5.
Numbers don't matter.
Yeah, they certainly don't. Good luck. Yeah, and so now in the future, I'm going to have, you know, when you have these in the back issue bin, it's going to be, what order are these?
Have the points, like, gone with the rest of the story?
I haven't read this. I haven't read anything since number one, actually. So I don't know.
That Daredevil's your main.
He is, but.
Yeah. And that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
I've liked it.
Deadpool Dracula's Gauntlet, which was the
digital
one. Digital
only?
Yeah, they're putting out in print now in issues.
Whatever. Is it going to have that cool intro?
I hope so. Them that Prince reading dead. This in print is stupid. Yeah. Death Vigil, which is a new number one from Image. Detective 33. Empty Man 2. Empty Man number one I thought was interesting. Very much a horror book out of Boom. By Cullen Bunn. So kind of him doing his first, well, not his first creator, I don't think, because he does Sixth Gun, but just another creator own thing. Grayson number one. The first one of that.
Looking forward to that.
Now we got Magnus Robot Fighter 0 and 5. Yay. Can't space those out. Thank you, Dynamite. New Suicide Squad number 1. Original Sin 5.1. The Story of Angela. And Original Sins 3. Rocket Raccoon. Those were all damaged. I should have them in hopefully tomorrow. But I just pointed this out that we're getting the folded promo poster and the lithographs next week.
Nice.
Thought that was helpful. Spider-Man 2099 number one is next week. Spread number one is next week. That's another Image one. I want to say, I think it's Justin Jordan. A new Justin Jordan book or something like they tried to bury something to prevent the end of the world, but it didn't work or something. I think that was the
spread.
Rough, yeah, something. Very good. Thomas Alsop number two, which was a really neat, another Boom book. Neat kind of Constantine, but what if Constantine was like a reality show star? He's in charge of protecting the island of Manhattan from any outside supernatural things, but he's also a reality or a celebrity.
Keeping up with the Constantine?
Yes, exactly. We got Walking Dead number 129. William Shakespeare, the third book of the William Shakespeare, The Jedi Doth Return. Wolverine 10, where he's getting closer to dying. And then X-Men Battle of the Atom trade paperback, which seems to me has taken an awful long time to come out.
And who cares?
And it's a $35 book, and I think it was just a 10-issue series. So that seems a little bit much, considering some of those books were $2.99. That seems a little bit much. But that's what we got next week.
There'll be lots of collector stuff in there, like actual story.
Yes, hopefully they fit some of the art issues.
Dupe will be in it.
For this collection, we found some of the story.
Yeah, that we forgot to put in. There wasn't room for before. Okay. But that's a podcast. We've gone on quite long. So we'll talk to you next week. See ya. Fast.
faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town, walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society, studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my rap. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. I'm a second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block.
Now, put your hands up like